stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
You are now listening to Meridian Arts.
The story you're about to hear is true. It takes place in the wild world of rap and contains mature content that may not be appropriate for all audiences. Like N.W.A. said,
parental discretion's advised.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Before we get into it, first, who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
Yo, you're speaking to David Wali Rahman Ibn Hassan Ballard, a.k.a. Orko Elohim, the psychotic alien.
Blow, blow, blow.
Peace. My name is Parker Edison. I'm fascinated by the impact of rap writers. Hip-hop's 50th anniversary yielded a bounty of articles and interviews, and being the black rap nerd that I am, I started to notice certain cities were special. Their contributions sit differently. Some places have something about their contribution that makes them unique. San Diego is one of those cities for a couple of reasons. I tapped in with some close friends I've been discussing rap with over the years. We put together this series to break it all down for you. I'm gonna map the whole thing, but this is the deal. This isn't the history of hip-hop. This isn't a complete timeline, but it is what happened. Some details will be left out. When we talk about Illmatic, won't really mention all the other beat makers Nas got beats from. We talk about the ones that made it happen. Primo, Q-Tip, Pete Rock, right? Keep that in mind while you're listening to this. This is about San Diego rap and the incredible way it got where it is today. You ready? This is San Diego Story.
This season on Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I'm going to classes, workshops, and private venues designed to enrich and broaden our sexual horizons, and I'm taking you with me. I meet with an erotic mindfulness coach, get a pelvic floor exam, talk with new moms, and even put on my dancing shoes and take a beginning burlesque class, and much more. Find season 2 of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly wherever you get your podcasts, and come join me in my search for fun and sexy adventures that are available to you.
With its start in the early 1980s, gangster rap is a subgenre of American hip-hop that highlights the culture and values typical of urban gangs and hustlers.
Does San Diego's rap have a sound?
No. Just like San Diego's don't really have real supporters when it comes to the teens, because San Diego is like a port city, like a military town, so a lot of people are not from here.
That's the voice of John Robinson, a.k.a. Reality Odell. He's an accomplished MC from a San Diego crew called Ill-Mannered. In this clip, he shares a hot take on the root and evolution of our rap sound.
First of all, when I was coming up in 7th and 8th grade, there wasn't a lot of rappers. So at our school, if you rapped, everyone knew who you were. The gangster rap part didn't really, everybody was like still doing hip hop. And the pivotal point, the turning point of that was first N.W.A. kinda, and then D.O.C. D.O.C. was right on the borderline of both, because he was sounded gangster. He was hanging with people that were professing to be gangsters, but he was hip hop. So D.O.C. was kind of like that catalyst. He was kind of the straddle, like how L.L. was a bridge between old school, new school. D.O.C. was that bridge kind of between gangster MC.
Now, John's specifically talking about San Diego. And not all of San Diego. He's describing a specific wave of mainstream rappers that made sense to our local scene in a way that immediately affected the way it moved.
And then later on, like that same, that following year, DJ Quick hit, and it fucking changed everything. That's when you start getting those gangster rappers coming out.
Here in San Diego?
Here in San Diego, that I know
got
about.
Got you.
Because most of the gangster raps, you know, they wasn't really, they would be doing like funny type raps. Like, you know, they would be taking old songs and putting their lyrics in it like that. But they wasn't really taking it seriously because it wasn't really an art form yet to where you could gang bang and call your set out or nothing like that. So the girls wasn't liking Quick, but they didn't have no choice but to like the gangster part of it. So it was like they didn't like Quick because he was a blood, but they liked Quick because he was talking gangster. It's just, yeah, Quick hit. The summer of 91, It was born and raised in Compton. Then by that summer, he was doing Tonight had hit. That's when you seen it on the box all the time.
Maybe San Diego doesn't yield rugged lumberjack MCs like New York or Compton firecrackers that pop off. Maybe we're something sleek, slicker. I say this because I avidly remember the wardrobe at that time as guest jeans, a belt, slick silk or rayon shirts. I also remember the rise of pimp clinics like Ruthless Organization, PBL, all these little 4 and 5 person crews mimicking DJ Quick and the Penthouse Players. I'm not implying that one begat the other, just highlighting how this wave moves through the mainstream and the underground. Here's another quick example.
So I was doing a lot of house parties. I did a bunch of the biggest like birthday parties for a lot of the gang parties all through Southeast, literally from El Cajon City all the way to Barrio Logan. I would even throw parties over in East Dago too, because I used to live over there before I moved to Skyline. And I was notorious. I was one of the go-to DJs in the hood that wasn't like, if you couldn't get DJ King Arthur, I might have been next on the list, like in your budget. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, BC will do it, and he got a rocking system.
Kerry Campbell's rap alias was BC, which to my understanding was short for Burnt Cereal. A name he got as a member of an old school skate crew called the Oatmeal Club. That's a tangent, but I'm bringing him up because he was DJing parties locally in the early 90s, and he too remembers 91 being Quick summer.
I remember DJing a party, and I had planned out this amazing set, right? Mm-hmm. For all this vinyl, Tribe Called Quest, all this super sick stuff, so much stuff. DJ Quick had dropped that week, and I was only allowed to play DJ Quick on repeat for four hours.
And he only had 12 songs. He only had, yeah, I remember. Yeah. Quick is the name.
Percentage-wise, between what we call backpack and gangsters in rap at that time, what was the percentage backpack rap to gangster rappers at that time?
I would say only like 20% gangster and the rest backpack rap. Ooh. I mean, there's a lot of gangsters, but none of them rap. You may have like 20 gangsters, 30 gangsters, but only 2 rap. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then out of the backpack crew and all the dancers and all of that, you may have 30, but 20, 15 of them rap, dance, DJ, do graffiti, like, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Amidst the popularity of gangster rap, a second school of thought is in the wings, backpack rap. Its signature item being the JanSport backpack, consistently full of cassette tapes and rhyme books.
DJ Gil.
Was there like a backpack element at that time?
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
The backpack element was, I don't know if you heard a group called Boot Without a Soul?
Yes.
With the rapper Orko?
Yes.
I actually was one of their producers, too.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you buried the lead on this one.
Yeah. I just forget about them, man. So, Boot Without a Soul, great. Oh, my God.
Wait. Let's take a quick break so I can cue up these next couple clips. I want to make sure this gets just right. We'll be right back.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back.
I can't say enough about these guys. I mean, to hear something different, to hear something different come out of San Diego, that would have been it. I don't know. Management again. The same management that had me had them. And then, so they dropped the ball on that. I know they were going to get signed to Virgin. They were going to get signed to Virgin. Boot Without a Soul would have been the, you know what I mean, the S. It would have been great.
Kerry Campbell.
Were you in the first iteration of Boot Without a Soul?
Yep.
So were y'all shopping for demos?
We had demo deals and we were producing with Frank Z, with DJ Gil. That was something real. We were really trying to do it.
Who all was in Boot Without a Soul?
So Boo Boo Out of Soul was me, Orko, Eclipse, Benny Heron, Wusu, his name is Marvin, can't remember Marvin's last name right now, and Zombie619er, which is Kenny Andrews.
Backpack Rap is gathering momentum. Leading the charge is a virtuoso from Paradise Hills, a savant who will forever change the look, sound, and philosophy of San Diego rap. My guy Jay Smith is on the line with this legend right now. Listen in. This is your introduction.
Yeah, how Boot Without a Soul came together was basically we were a rap division of our dancing crew, House Clan. So House Clan, we had this crew, No Soul. Well, before it was No Soul, it was just House Clan. And we were all like four element B-boys. So, you know what I mean? All the MCs, and you know the San Diego history, most of the MCs were dancers and stuff like that, or they're dealing with multiple elements, just like athletes. Usually when athletes play one sport, they got the off-season sports that they play and other stuff like that. So we were really, not only were we really big into dancing and DJing graffiti, but we were really big into MCing. We was those kids, man. We knew what we wanted to do super young in life. You know what I mean? Even if the homies didn't even, certain people didn't stick with it all the way, at least at a young age, they knew what they wanted to do for at least a certain amount of time, which our creativity just, it opened up different avenues for everybody. And you can see to this day that everybody still has a piece of that spark and they're using it to the best of their ability. And I'm really proud of that.
You mentioned Gangster Earn being a mentor. You know what I mean? I think if I'm getting it right, man.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay, was he an early advocate? Like, cause you know, from the outside, right? You think OG gangster rapper, right? You know what I mean? And then you got Boo Without a Soul's very, very left field with it, man. And you know, from the outside, it might not seem like it gels.
All the great things you've heard about are true.
There was times where, you know, money was thin and Aaron would come around and be like, yo, this is for Boo Without a Soul. You know what I mean? Like straight up off the top, like made sure that we stayed in the studio. Was a real, like, a private investor for what we were doing. Back in the days, gangster rappers didn't really see themselves as rappers. They seen themselves as real, as gangsters.
Right,
so,
right.
When it comes to, like, b-boy culture and, like, backpack rappings and shit like that, even to this day, like, gangster MCs really have an admiration for, like, boom bap lyricists and stuff like that, because that's what we came up with, Run DMC and all that stuff. So they hold that in high esteem. And if you could really, really, really rhyme, then you kind of really got the heart of a gangster. A gangster is going to appreciate your music, is going to be like, yo, okay, man, I'm not the dude that dance around and I'm not the dude that raps with the big words, but I love that. I love that. Keep going. And Ernest, a very, very, very real brother. Never wanted us to get involved with any type of gangster vibes or anything. We were always safe. I mean, these are people that were like feared, deathly feared inside the city. And then like, we just rolling around them. We like with the craziest pit bull, Doberman Pinscher. You know what I'm saying? We with the wild ones. You know what I'm saying? A quick story real quick, how they put me through boot camp. And it was Gangsta Earn, too, that put me through this boot camp. It was D-Mac, Gangsta Earn. They asked me how did I hold the microphone, and I was doing all this stuff and all that. And I couldn't project into the mic, so they had to teach me how to do this. So I learned basically how to rhyme, how to produce, how to perform, and how breath control all in the mic all at the same time. I was super blessed and super lucky to have mentors that taught me all of these different disciplines of being an artist all at the same time.
When Gangster Earned Pass, man. How did that affect you moving forward?
Man, it was worse than Tupac dying, man. Gangster Earned was like the Robin Hood of Southeast. You know what I'm saying? And so as much as he was feared and probably hated and feared, he was loved at the same time by the community. And when you see a beautiful person and you don't get to see I saw all Gangsta Earn's sunshine. I never got a chance to see his shadow. You know what I mean? You got to remember, man, like we were super young. You're talking 14, 15, 10th grade, 11, 10th grade. Boot Without a Soul was like 10th, 9th, 10th, 11th grade.
Wow, man. Okay.
By the time 12th grade years rolling around, it's like just about Master of the Universe, Michael Crucifixion time. Because okay. I graduated in 94. So you're thinking like 90 to 92 is Boot What Out of Soul era.
Okay.
93 is kind of like gray area. Us getting our stuff together. I'm like, it's fuck the industry. I keep saying that. And I'm like, you know what? I keep saying everybody's saying it, but nobody's saying it.
Gotcha.
So I'm gonna run with it. That's the name of my label. I put my music out anytime, any place. As long as I can create art, I can create a tangible product and get it to the people's hands. And yeah. I really, really wanted to be original. Like, of course, we all don't start original. We all start tracing before we can draw whatever we really want to draw, right? But I always wanted to, like, okay, once I've found myself and once I figured out how to rhyme or figured out how to make beats or figured a little bit of this out, I wanted to shut myself away from the world to come up with my truly unique kind of like jazz, you know, come with a truly unique art form within this context. You know what I'm saying?
Do you ever think about how you want to be considered as an artist? You know what I mean? When, you know, a forefather, trailblazer, anything like that?
I just wanted to be like, damn, bro. This fool was really on it like that.
Yeah.
Like when you think of Thelonious Monk and you think of like Coltrane, you think Coltrane just like slept with his saxophone, like slept with the basketball. You can't even see these people. Like you see pictures of Thelonious Monk without the piano and not on the piano, but the way you think of Thelonious Monk, you can't separate him from the piano. And that's the way I want to be seen and remembered and known, that I'm synonymous with my art. I'm synonymous with my craft. My name, as soon as you say my name, you're going to think of a drum machine or think of a microphone or think of a cadence or a poem or some type of structure.
From Meridian Arts and KPBS, this is episode 4 of Rap Diego, a San Diego story. In our next episode, gangster rap puts the city on the map when Def Jam Records comes into the picture.
J.O. Felony was cracking, Loco Entertainment, putting it down, you know what I'm saying? San Diego in the building.
Rap Diego is a co-production of KPBS and Meridian Arts. Host and co-creator, Parker Edison. Episodes written by Jay Smith, Chris Reyes, Don Jagger, and Stephen Flex. Extra special thanks to guest writer, Melody Harold. Editing by Platform Collection. Music soundtrack by Monday Adams. Executive producer for KPBS is Lisa Jane Morissette, KPBS Director of Audio Programming and Operations. Technical and operational support provided by KPBS technical producer, sound designer, Adrian Villalobos, and KPBS producer, Julio Ortiz Franco. This programming is made possible in part by the KPBS Explore Content Fund. Shout out in no particular order to Dope Static, Jive, Fatal Five, and who did I forget?
Listen to the sound of the psychotic. inside of you. Inside of you. I pray to the Most High every day that a queen female come my way. Melanin black with a head wrap, first contact by the heat, by your feedback, relax. Everything is in moderation, conversation for our relation. Your mind for the mental masturbation, I regulate sexual stimulation. You just need someone to talk to, my actions show you that I love you, bless you. Your physical form will test you. Brothers try to get at you every day, but don't let Satan stress you. Your sweat cells soak in my sheet with sex smells. I look into your eyes and hear the waves inside the shells. Normandy Y from Kenya, we making an Italian dinner. No forks, no spoons, we both left the food before we eat with our fingers. Massage your back, smoking a sack, girl, you got me looking. Reflect on California every time I visit Brooklyn. If you can see inside of me, then I will be inside of you.
Stay connected to the world around you. KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.